Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Pressing On. In this message, I want to encourage you to press on through the profession of your faith. A profession of faith is more than a confession. It's also a demonstration of God's power in and through our lives as followers of Jesus. It's my prayer that you are challenged to press on towards the power of God through the profession of your faith. May God bless you as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
So if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3 and Luke chapter 4. This is the last message in our series. And if you're joining us for the first time, or if you missed one of the messages in the series, you can always go to iTunes, go to the podcast category, and just in the search bar, just put Holt Assembly of God. I believe the last 100 messages are there so that you can listen to them at your convenience. So again, if you have sermon notes, hopefully you'll have those in your hands. You can follow along with me. First part of this message, I'd like to just briefly review kind of where we've been. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, that it's kind of been the centerpiece of our series. And when you read this verse, you get that picture of a runner running towards the end, running towards the finish line, pressing on, not giving up until they've crossed the finish line. That's the image we get here in Philippians chapter 3. Let's read verses 12, 13, and 14. Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? Press on. I press on, that I may lay hold of that which for Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, good, bad, and ugly, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Our relationship with Jesus is likened to a race here. And the race can be difficult. It can be strenuous at times. But finishing the race is of utmost importance. Amen? Finishing the race is of supreme importance. But equally important is how we run. How we run. It's not just running and finishing. It's how we run. There's an emphasis in the Word of God on how we run. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." In other words, run to win. Run to finish first. Don't run to finish second. Run to finish first. Why settle for second best when you can have God's best? Why run for second place when you can have first place? If you aim for second place, you'll never achieve first place. So what are we pressing towards? Every one of us in here, we're all pressing towards something or someone. So what are we pressing towards? And I felt like that was the question God was asking me to ask this church throughout this series. And I said, "Well, Lord, what should we be pressing on to? What specifically should this church be pressing on towards?" I felt like the Lord gave me three areas that we should be pressing on towards: the presence of God. That's a good thing. Amen. Amen. The promises of God and the power of God. Those three areas of spiritual life. Now, I know there's many more than that, but I felt like that's what the Lord asked me to preach on and focus on: the presence of God, the promises of God, and the power of God. Listen, if we will press on, if we'll press on in those three areas, if every person in here will make a decision to press on towards the presence of God, to press on towards His promises and His power, it will have a far-reaching effect. It will affect those outside of this building. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do as being a part of God's kingdom. It's supposed to escape these walls. It's supposed to go beyond. It's supposed to permeate beyond that. Our walk with God should have an influence that goes beyond this building. So if we'll do that, those are the things we are pressing on towards. Now the question is, how? How should we be pressing on? Well, I felt like these three areas, and there's more, but I felt like specifically God just said, focus on these three: prayer, praise, and the last one, this is what we're going to talk about here this morning, is profession. Prayer, praise, and profession. The word profession when you first think of it, it's defined as an occupation, a paid occupation, especially one that involves prolonged training and formal qualification. You say, well, wait a second. I look at that and I say, well, that has discipleship written all over it. You say, well, I don't get paid. Well, you don't want paid anyways. Can I tell you from God's word, you don't want paid anything? You want to be blessed. All right, and I can tell you this, that you're going to be richly blessed at the end of the race. So when I look at that definition, the first one, I see, boy, there's discipleship all over that. Because to become a follower of Jesus, it's just not a matter of giving your life to him in a moment of faith. And it's not just coming and bowing down at an altar and saying, you know, I give you my life. It's now living that as a living sacrifice, giving yourself over to him. It's prolonged. It involves training. That's why church is so important. Church is so important to be discipled. None of us have arrived. If you think you've arrived, well, listen, I guess we should stand back because God is ready to take you home. Number two, profession, an act of declaring. And the reason why I chose profession, I could have chose preaching or proclamation, but I didn't think those two fit what I felt like the Lord was trying to get me to communicate. Profession fit better because when you think of the word profession, it has two elements, communication and then demonstration. Communication and demonstration. A profession of faith emphasizes communication and demonstration. A profession of faith emphasizes communication and demonstration. Now hopefully, again, this is just some review to kind of get you some momentum where we're going here this morning. Hopefully through the series you've noticed there's a correlation. There's a correlation between what I preached in the first half of the series and what I preached in the second half of the series. This is what we are pressing on towards, and this is how we are pressing on. So we are pressing towards the presence of God through prayer. Through prayer. That's what I felt like the Lord said to this church. Press on to my presence through prayer. Through prayer. Press on to the promises of God through praise. Praise your way through those promises, to those promises. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with being happy in God's house. Listen, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So that should enter into our praise. And last, the power of God. We press on towards the power of God through our profession of faith. Why do we need the power of God? Why do we need God's power? We need God's power to profess our faith. The Holy Spirit empowers us to both speak and to live our faith. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in power. Everyone say power. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Spoken 700 years prior to this, it's finally coming to pass. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Can I tell you, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. There's no need to wait any longer. If you know the sequence of events in this story, if you understand what has taken place, Jesus, prior to this, he had went to John, where John was baptizing near in the Jordan River. And as he goes there, he himself is baptized in water. And then what happens? What takes place? What's the sequence of events? Because something changes with Jesus after his baptism. Well, let's just read Luke chapter 3. If you don't want to turn there, it's okay. We'll have them on the screens for you. But Luke chapter 3, verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased." I think it's amazing. When Jesus left Galilee to the region where John was baptizing, he was the carpenter's son. But when he comes back, he's the Christ. He's the anointed one. And I know Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, fully God, fully man. I understand that. But he had not done a miracle up to that place. He had not performed any miracle to that place. He had not preached one message to that place until he receives the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish his mission, what do you think that means for us today? Man, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. There are people who say, "Well, I just feel funny about asking for God's power." Well, are you silly or what? You need God's power. If Jesus needed it, then Lord, sign me up. I need more. So we need the power of God to fulfill our mission, to fulfill our calling. And so the reason why Jesus was baptized, or why Jesus received the Holy Spirit, why the Holy Spirit came on him, anointed him, was to proclaim the gospel through his words and through a demonstration. Man, Jesus demonstrated the gospel for us, did he not? He just didn't talk about the kingdom of God. He exampled the kingdom of God. Why are we any different? And then once he receives the Holy Spirit, once the Holy Spirit comes upon him, it's lights out, Bubba. It's game on. We need the same power of God upon our lives to profess our faith. I want to see you what Jesus promised us just before he ascended into heaven. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this promise is still good to you and I today. And remember, these people had already received the Holy Spirit. Jesus had breathed on them the night of the resurrection. If you go back and read it in the last chapter of John, you'll see that. But look at this promise. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." When he has come upon you. And look at this. "For what purpose," you may ask? It tells you right here. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Listen, church, we need the power of God to accomplish our God-ordained purpose. And our God-ordained purpose, every one of us, not just a preacher, not just an evangelist, we are called to equip, to train, to release the saints for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is souls. To profess our faith. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're empowered to be a witness. And that power is demonstrated through our speech and through our actions. I believe in the Western church, the Western world, we're confused about God's power. I really do. I think we're confused about the purpose of God's power. In fact, there's many Assembly of God churches that I've been a part of that I could say that we were confused about the power of God. What's the purpose of God's power? Some people want to be used in the power of God for selfish reasons. And others, they don't want to be used in the power of God because of false humility. Can I tell you, we all need to be used in the power of God. Despite our personal feeling, the Word of God admonishes us to be empowered by the Spirit. God promises His power, so why on earth would we not want to receive His power? Why would we not want to receive the power of God that is available for us? How many of you want to experience God's power? Why do we need to experience the power of God? Power to witness. To witness our faith, our testimony, to share with others what has taken place. Do you know you don't have to argue your testimony? All you have to do with someone is say, "This is what Jesus has done in my life." That also gives you the opportunity then to share the Word of God then. And number two, and this is the most underemphasized aspect of God's power, to live a holy life. To live a holy life. My goodness, now more than ever, this world needs to see the church living a life that is God-ordained, that is distinct. Now, on the same hand, we're not to be so secluded and so out of the way from lost people that there's no gap in between. There's such a gap in between, a gulf that we can't reach out to them. But what I'm saying is this, that Jesus, did Jesus hang out with sinners? Absolutely. But he didn't do what sinners did. I've heard this said before. I'm sure you've heard something like it. Preach the gospel and sometimes use words. that idiom, that proverb, or whatever you want to call it today, emphasizes the importance of a follower living their lives in such a way that the nature and character of Christ is lived through them. And boy, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's job is in us. He's not just in us to occupy space. He's in us to transform our lives more into the likeness of our Savior. As we yield ourselves to, isn't that what we call spiritual fruit? I'm not sure of the accuracy of this quote because I've seen it, you know, throughout the internet. I tried to track down the best sources that I could, but you know what? You never know what you're going to get on the internet, right? But I do know this saying does have some bit of truth. I read an article. It was from, you know, back in the 1920s or something like that, back when Gandhi was alive. And that's why I'm going to use as the example. Gandhi said this or something similar. I love your Christ, but I dislike your Christianity. I love your Christ, but I dislike your Christianity. Ugh. What's he saying? Jesus is fine, but it's his followers. You know what? I agree with Gandhi. I absolutely do. That doesn't mean I'm anti-anything. It just means that, you know what? Our biggest problem in the body of Christ is the body of Christ. Us preachers, we get together, we always say something like this, church would be great if it wasn't for the people. We're still part of a fallen world. We're redeemed, but we're also being redeemed. We're being transformed, and sometimes it's ugly, and sometimes it's not perfect. And there's a process that takes place. But we have to be careful, and I believe this. I believe the world doesn't. Sometimes we give the world a bad rap, and this is what I mean. Well, they just call us all hypocrites. Well, sometimes we are, but they're at the bars too, and they're everywhere. Hypocrites are everywhere. But what I would say is this. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, and I believe it's because we don't understand the power of God. We don't understand God's power and purpose in our lives. See, this is the way we handle the power of God as Pentecostals. It's a show. It's a show. Can I tell you, it's more than a show? It's more than a demonstration. It's more than a manifestation. It's a process of transformation. Look what Luke says. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Back to the message. So I was getting off of it there. I need to rein it back in, or you're going to be here a long time. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus is saying this, quoting Isaiah's prophecy, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, he's not talking about economically challenged people. They're all part of this too. That's not what he's talking about, a class of people. He's talking about, and if you know the Beatitudes and the conversation Christ has throughout the Gospels, he's talking about those who are poor in spirit. By the way, every lost person is poor in spirit. Before you came to Jesus, you were poor in spirit. But thankfully, when you gave your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. You're no longer poor in spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus to preach good news to lost people, period. And you and I in this room, if we call ourselves Christians, if we are born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we are the body of Christ. Look around, you see the hands and feet of Jesus. But we are the hands and feet. We are his physical representation on earth. Have you ever thought about it? We are the body of Christ. The Bible even says that. We are his body. We are empowered by the Spirit just as Jesus was. Hey, listen, a body without a spirit is dead. It's incapable of doing anything. But we have the Spirit of God in us, and we should have the Spirit of God upon us to do the work of Christ. There's an unfinished work he's left for us to accomplish. So what are we doing? Where is the power of God being demonstrated in your life? Where is God's power being demonstrated in your life personally? Because if it's not being demonstrated in your life, guess what? It's not going to be demonstrated here or anywhere. And this is what happens, I think, a lot in Pentecostal churches. Pastors see the lack. They understand. They know that the power of God is important, so we try to generate the power of God. Can't do that. Leads to a lot of confusion then. Lots of confusion. Hey, I always like to say this. If it's there, it's there. If it ain't, it ain't. Move on. You don't have to generate anything. God's a big boy. He can take care of things himself. Amen? See, I can tell by your response. Some of you have been in those services, haven't you? That's not, you can't do that. Amen. God is God all by himself. All right. You and I, we're the physical representation of Christ on the earth. And so where is God's power being demonstrated through your life? Listen, I was not raised in church. I was not raised in church. Hard to believe. Some of you don't know that. If you're around me longer, you'll see. He wasn't raised in church. All right, but my church experience, my Christian experience is this, that I was born again in an Assemblies of God church. You know, obviously the Assemblies of God, we're a Pentecostal denomination. We're not really a denomination either, we're a fellowship. But born again in an Assemblies of God church, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in Assemblies of God church, the same Assemblies of God church, called to preach in the same Assemblies of God church, was baptized in water in the same Assemblies of God church. My wife experienced what I experienced in the same Assemblies of God church. We got married in that same church. And since then, I've worked on staff at three different churches, all Assembly of God churches. So this is my first church to be the lead pastor. So in all my years, my perspective has been from a Pentecostal perspective. The reason why I'm saying that is for this reason. Because if I don't say that, some of you are going to think I want to trash what it means to be Pentecostal. Listen, there are some of you who have asked you, did you pray in the Spirit this morning? You would say, oh, no, but I did. I pray in the Spirit every day. I pray in the Spirit constantly. You know why? Because I can't do what I'm doing, and I need God's help. And when I run out of the words to pray, I pray in the Spirit. So don't come at me and say that when I'm going to say what I'm going to say, that my Pentecostal resume is not up to snuff. But I'm going to tell you, phooey. Phooey. So what I'm going to say is this. I believe we get the power of God wrong in Pentecostal churches. Wrong. I'm telling you, it becomes more sideshow than it becomes a demonstration of God's power consistently through a believer's life. See, we come to see the power of God demonstrated. But why aren't we coming, all right, coming to be encouraged, coming to be trained, coming to worship, coming to do all those things, but why don't we walk out of those doors with the same power of God upon us manifesting outside there? See, it's funny. It's like the Holy Spirit leaves us as soon as we go out those doors. I'm sorry. I got a problem with that. See, to me, that just says phony. Listen, all I know about Jesus, all I know about the Word of God is from a Pentecostal perspective. And I don't plan on changing that. It's from a Pentecostal perspective. So I struggle when I see folks who know what I know, experience what I've experienced, and they experience God's power in church, but outside the church, there's no demonstration altogether. That bothers me. How can that be? I just wonder, how can that be? Because when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it changed my life. It turned our lives upside down. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before I was called in the ministry. I didn't even know what I was getting into. I just know I needed more of God and I wanted more of Him, and I received. And then when people were saying, God's called you to ministry, I said, you're crazy. One night we were at church, I remember the aisle was on the right side. God's called you. I said, no. I took her hand off. He said, no, He's not. No. No. And crazy lady was right, though. She's crazy to this day. I'm not casting stone at my spiritual family. And I'm not ceasing to be Pentecostal ever. But what I am saying is that the day I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I prayed in another tongue, that something in my life changed, and it keeps on changing. So I have a problem when I see that demonstration of Pentecost come to a stop or never progress. See, I think there's a problem with that. And I think it's because we don't understand the power of God. Anybody can run up and down an aisle. Anybody can jump over a pew. Anybody can shout. Anybody can do this. But not everybody can walk out those doors and live right. We can experience the power of God, but the power of God has to be demonstrated through our life. We can profess our faith in such a way that we're speaking it, but we also have to live it. That's the power of God. When it just goes beyond words, when it becomes actions, that's when it's powerful. That's when it's the most powerful. That's when it's tangible. That's when people get a hold of it. It's just not words. It's a demonstration. It's something they can touch and see. See, I can clap my hands, shout, be slain to the Spirit, run up and down the aisle, all that. But is that the extent of God's power? See, this is what I find in a lot of Pentecostal churches, even some that I've been a part of. We would pray for people. I've mentioned this before. People would line the altar. They'd be like sardines packed in the altar. We'd lay for them. And some, if they didn't fall, we just kept praying. And we keep praying. And then this was always just confused me. We would pray, they'd fall out, and then we'd go on. I'd say, well, why are we done? Is that what we're looking for? Is that all it is then? Because there are some people I say, God's not done with that person. Because they've been down to this altar 45 times, praying for the same thing. Let's have a talk with them and say, listen, you're here in church every Sunday, but you need to be here on Wednesday night when we're doing discipleship. Because that might help you a little bit more. See, that goes anti-Pentecostal. Not word, but our culture. See, we got to recreate the culture. See, the Spirit of God gives us power to be a witness. See, there shouldn't be a discrepancy on Monday morning. There shouldn't be a discrepancy on Tuesday morning. I'm trying to encourage you to press on because it goes beyond that. I've received God's touch on my life where I've been slain in the Spirit. And I know it's real. All I can tell you is this, something happened. And something happened that it changed the trajectory of my life. So I can only say this from my own experience. Is it real? Yes, it's real. But I'm saying this, sometimes we manufacture it. We manufacture it. And when we manufacture it, it sends a false message to the recipients. See, the greatest responsibility is right here. See, I can manufacture it and I get some of you to follow right in with it if I wanted to. Because you know why? You trust me. I take great responsibility with that. But I know a lot of my fellow colleagues that will go ahead and take advantage of that. And I feel like that's wrong. So what? And at the end of the day, listen, Pentecostal religion is the ugliest form of religion. You know why? Because it has an appearance of power. But it's empty. It can be as hollow and as religious and as ugly as any religion, Baptist, Methodist, it don't matter, Catholic, it don't matter. It could be the ugliest. You know why? Because it has appearance of life, but there has to be a demonstration of God's power. Don't settle for religion. If some of you have been jaded by it, then you need to get back on board. You need to press on. If some of you have seen a bad demonstration, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. God's power is real. The manifestations of the Spirit are real. They're in the Bible. You can't just rip those pages out. Don't settle for religion. A Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life should be filled with consistency. Consistency. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. See, it goes through you. It permeates through you. It becomes part of your actions. It's demonstrated through your life. It's not just words. It's not just an experience. It's a way of life. The Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life is a way of life. It produces spiritual fruit. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in you and I. If you're born again, you say, Pastor, I haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't matter. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Listen, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not a different Spirit. It's not another Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the anointing. It's a covering that comes upon you. And you should be filled and refilled at all times because sometimes you get low. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It doesn't matter how many times a preacher lays hands on you. I've said this before. No preacher can impart to you character. It's impossible. They can scream, shout, spit, knock you down all they want. But they can't impart spiritual fruit into you. See, that? Why is that? Because you have to yield to God's power. It doesn't matter how many physical, spiritual manifestations that you have. Unless you yield yourself to the power of God to shape your character, to empower you to serve, it doesn't matter. The power of God transforms us. The power of God transforms us. And it bothers me when our Spirit-filled people lack transformation. Church, we should be different, amen? We should be different. Why? Because we go to the Holt Assembly of God? No way. Because we're filled with the Spirit. That's why. Let me get back on the subject of power and what it's for. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Called this the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And look at this. This is the charge. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The Great Commission. It's our mission. It's the mission of the church. We are all commissioned to, this is our mission. We're commissioned in this mission. Then he gives us power to complete our mission. He gives us power to run our race. Are you following me now? Sadly, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. Why don't we read the Bible? Why don't we do this? Why don't you read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, find out how many miracles took place in church. You ever thought about that? How many miracles take place in church? Because the greater manifestation always takes place in the marketplace where the sinners are. I'm telling you this, if you want the power of God to be fully demonstrated, go win people to Jesus. I'm telling you, there are times where there are miracles that take place, and those miracles Jesus used as this. Bait. The bait is this. That's the power of God demonstrated. Now, here's the reason behind the power. You must be born again. You're a sinner. So you've just demonstrated power over sickness, power over death, power over nature. Boy, you have an audience now. If you don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to perish. Now, this is where we miss it. We should want the power of God for the glory of Christ so that he can be, not to show off our church, but to glorify Jesus. See, the salvation experiences, the miracles that we read about in the Bible almost always take place outside of the church. Read the New Testament. Just take note of it. Just follow me. Just do it. You'll see. Just go to the New Testament. Read what Paul, the ministry of Paul, and you'll find marketplace after marketplace after marketplace. And what I mean by marketplace is not where we're doing all the shop. I'm just being outside of the church. Most of the display of God's power takes place outside of the church. Why did Jesus encourage us to press towards his power? To live a holy life and to promote the gospel. To live a holy life and to promote the gospel. And there's a pattern you're going to see throughout God's word. And I'm just going to quickly just show you one here in Acts chapter 8, then I need to move forward. And then Philip, verse number 5, Acts chapter 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Obviously, we know what he's doing, right? He's preaching the gospel. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. A demonstration of God's power will accompany the gospel. It always will. God will show up in power when you preach Jesus. I'm telling you, there are some of you, you have people in your life right now that if you would just take this, you don't even have to take this. I don't even care what you take. I'm just trying to give you a tool. Because it's really not about Holt Assembly of God. Honestly, it's not. If you want to take someone to a different church, I don't care, as long as they're preaching the gospel. All right, but you share Christ with them. This is a tool in your hand. But listen, you may say, would you like to go to church with me Sunday? Well, yeah. And you know what? You never know what a person is going to say next, what kind of door I really need to go to church because. And boy, there you go. Listen, you don't have to wait to bring people to the altar on a Sunday morning. If you got an open door, you lead them to Jesus right there. My job is to equip, to train, to release you. Go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. If you want to, you should all want to experience God's power. If you want to experience God's power, profess Jesus. Profess him through your words. Profess him through your actions. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There's a power that works in us. Are we allowing that power to work through us? Or do we simply just hang on to it and we don't give it any outlet? Everyone, born again, the power of God resides in you. If you are a Christian, if you are born again, you've repented of your sins, the Holy Spirit has come into your life, it's transformed you. You know that you're born again. In your knower, God's changed you. There's power that resides in you. The power of God resides in you. You say, well, That almost sounds arrogant. No, it doesn't. Because now the power of God needs to flow through you. Because it's not about you. It's about them. It's always about them. Listen, Jesus, when he showed up, the Pharisees, if he's really Messiah, it's all about us. But no. It was about them. It's always about sinners. We're living in the last days, amen? And listen, you don't have to look around to that. Simply, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the last days began. So I'm not saying anything that's profound. It's just fact. So the last days began with the ascension of Christ. I believe this, we're in the last of the last days. I really do. I believe we're coming to the end. And when I read this verse in 2 Timothy, and I'm going to close after that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Boy, today if you do good, it could be called wrong now. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We all about loving ourselves. Here's the one, though. This is the one. See, this is the one that really invades the church, I think. This is the one that I can really pinpoint and say, this one could be really bad if it's in the church. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Away from such people, turn away. I believe those verses will come to pass, but especially that one in the church is the one that we need to combat the most. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness. Have the power of God in you, but denying its power, its outlet, its ability to change, to manifest, to demonstrate God's power. It just becomes religion. See, religion has no power. Religion has no power. The power of God is in us and works through us. And as it does so, people should see Christ in us, through us. Listen, the church is not for the demonstration of God's power as some sideshow entertainment. And the power of God should not be something that's in a museum. You understand what I'm saying? There's two extremes there. We got to be careful. Both will welcome a form of godliness, but denying its power. People that are so entertained and overwhelmed by the power of God that it becomes a show, then it becomes something that is manipulated. All right, and then the other side of that is this, that we get so scared of that we put the power of God on a shelf like it's in a museum. And we talk about what God used to do. See, there's danger. See, what we got to do is just press on. That's why you need to be in your word. That's why you need to be praying. That's why you need to be in church for crying out loud. That's why you need to be pressing on towards your relationship with God. Because there is enough junk in this world to get you sidetracked. The power of God should be present and evident in every area of our lives. And don't be satisfied until it is. You say, well, Pastor Jay, my witness is not that great in this area. Then you know where you need to press on. Fight the good fight. It's not going to, listen, it may not be easy. But if you keep fighting, you win. The object is not this, well, I fought once and I gave up. No. Listen, how many of you have been knocked on your tail in a fight before? Did that stop for you from fighting before? Oh, no. You just go get your tail whipped again. But somewhere, you're going to whip somebody. And they receive the fury of that wrath. But what I'm just saying, we've got to approach our walk with God the same way. Sometimes you're going to get knocked on your can. But get up and keep on going. Hold the symbol of God. We are like most churches. We need to experience God's power. Amen? Now more than ever, people in our community need to experience God's power, a genuine move of the Spirit through God's people. They need to hear and see a Spirit-empowered church. They need to hear a demonstration of truth and hear it and see it.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope it was a blessing to you. If this weekly program ministers to you, we would love to know. Write us, give us a call, or send us a message. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.